morning are stories. And stories make for longer reading, so I invite you to sit back once again and hear another story from our Holy Scriptures. Our gospel lesson comes from the book of John, chapter 11, verses 1 through 44. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, from the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after hearing that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then skipping ahead to verse 17, when Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection on that last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called for Sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews that were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was laying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always heard me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." The word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This week, we continue our Lenten journey to the cross. Both of these scriptures are powerful stories. Stories of our humanity. Stories of despair and faith. Stories of life, death, and resurrection. Ezekiel is a story of a community that was in exile. They had experienced the death of hope. They see no possibility for salvation. Ezekiel lived in a time when the people, particularly the leaders, were worshiping idols and had abandoned their moral and ethical obligations as God's people, their covenant relationship with Yahweh. Those obligations called them to be a just society, but they were oppressive and violent, and they were caught up in the power struggle between Assyria and Egypt. And because of Judah's failure to honor its covenantal obligations with Yahweh, Ezekiel had been prophesying for many years at this point. He prophesied that Yahweh would not recognize their right to the promised land, and that the Judeans would experience deportation, death, and destruction. And it did. Indeed, Nebuchadnezzar swept through the land and did just that. He destroyed the temple and executed or exiled the elite. And it's from exile that we hear Ezekiel's vision of the valley filled with dry bones. In First Testament wisdom literature, including the Proverbs, and in the poetry of the Psalms, and in many of the writings of the prophets, we hear about dry bones. Dry bones are associated with hopelessness and despair. The hopelessness described in these writings could literally lead to the withering away of the body and to death. The dry bones that Ezekiel sees represented the hopelessness of the exiles, the fear that they would never again find their way home. For you see, home represented more to them than just a land and a place where they lived. It was where God resided. So they were a people forever separated from God. They were separated from access to the temple, where they could offer sacrifice and seek atonement. They didn't ask where God was. They were pretty sure they knew. Prophets, including Ezekiel, had been calling for them to be accountable and had been offering them warnings of this very thing. And so they despaired God's absence and saw no possibility for reconciliation or restoration. Their bones were dry. There was nowhere to turn for relief, no one to speak on their behalf. There was no hope. At this point in the story, we might be tempted to quickly turn past those dry bones of Ezekiel's vision and focus on the resurrection, on those bones knitting themselves together, as the song goes, and becoming covered with flesh and returning to life. But Lent is a time where we are challenged to linger on the hard things of life, to reflect on Jesus' journey, the cross, and to reflect on the difficult paths that we walk as well. For we too are sinful people who live in a broken and sinful world. And as a result, we too experience times of brokenness, times of grief, and perhaps even hopelessness and despair. Our world is filled with places and times where we turn away from God, both individually and as a society. Like the people of Judah, we have moral and ethical obligations as God's people that we fail to live out. I wonder if the 17 million Yemenis who are critically food insecure today, I wonder if they have dry bones. Or what about the 65 million people in the world who have been their lands, their families, their homes, because of war or persecution. I wonder if they see the promise of a future, or perhaps closer to home, the 3.5 million people, 50% of people with severe mental illness in the United States, who do not have access to treatment. And the fact that only 25% of people with mental health issues describe people as caring and compassionate. Many of these people describe the dry bones of hopelessness. Our world and our communities are filled with dry bones. We long for hope, but we witness anger and fear and despair. We long for relief and to make a difference. But sometimes, in spite of all of our ministries, our prayers, and intentions, it feels like we are but a drop in the bucket of a great ocean of need. And then we are reminded of the rest of Ezekiel's vision. Some scholars suggest that it could be better translated as God's vision. So we see ourselves and our world through God's eyes, and in God's vision, nothing at all, or no one, is hopeless. Even a valley filled with dry, dead bones. Ezekiel reminds the people of God's faithfulness, and the remedy for hopelessness is God's presence, God's divine presence. God does not deny that the exiles' bones are dry. Their despair is very real. However, God commands Ezekiel to proclaim to the dry bones, to the hopeless, that the Ruach shall enter them and shall live. The Hebrew word Ruach means spirit or wind or breath. You can even hear it in how it's said. God's breath, God's life-giving force, God's hope, God's very presence will resurrect these dry bones and restore to them life, hope, and the promise of a future. Death and destruction is not the end of their story. As we fast forward, as a resurrection people, we have the benefit of the assurance that God will never leave or forsake us. We too are reminded that God's spirit, God's breath, the Ruach that once breathed life into dust to create humankind, will once again bring new life into God's broken and hopeless people. We witness to the truth that wherever we are in life or whatever we are facing, God can breathe resurrection life into us as well. We proclaim God's promise of love, forgiveness, and reconciliation, and we are filled with God's Spirit as we join God's reconciling work in the world. But this doesn't mean it's easy. Our gospel lesson today tells us even of the grief and the sickness and the death of faithful people. We hear the story of the death of Lazarus. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus loved Jesus, and Jesus loved them. They supported his ministry. They recognized him as Messiah. They were faithful to him. They knew his teachings and his healing power. So when Lazarus fell ill, of course they called Jesus. But Jesus didn't come. Jesus waited a few days, knowing that Lazarus would die. Both Martha and Mary greeted Jesus, saying, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not. Can you hear the implied question? Jesus, why didn't you come? You could have saved him. Jesus, where were you when we needed you?" And Jesus responds with tears. Jesus experiences and acknowledges the pain that suffering and death cause in human life. Jesus is present. God is present. God intimately knows our suffering, and Jesus weeps with us. Jesus said, "Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." And then Jesus calls Lazarus out of the tomb. Just like God's vision shared through Ezekiel, Jesus pointed towards resurrection life. He offered a vision of life in which we do not live in fear of death, but instead we live and we thrive in the irrevocable promise of life with God. Faith brings to light our relationship with Christ. Those who believe in God live their lives intentionally. It doesn't mean that they do not experience death or illness, suffering, grief, or even death, or the death of those they love. But the promise of life is stronger than the fear of death. Resurrection life is different than new life. It's not necessarily pretty and unblemished like the promise that comes with a newborn baby. Instead, resurrection life is renewed life. It's forged from death. It carries the scars of pain and suffering. The Judeans carried scars of war and separation from family. Lazarus carried the weakness of illness and death. Jesus himself would carry the scars of betrayal, beating, nails, and the spear. Resurrection life integrates the knowledge of God's presence, even in the midst of suffering, with the hope of living into Christ's new heaven and new earth. We're all in need of resurrection life. We have all been scarred, some of us through illness or disability or a death that's beyond our understanding, some of us through bullying or abuse, some of us through poverty or racism. Our scars are too numerous to count. The good news of the gospel is that Christ is with us. Jesus weeps with us in our despair, then fills us with the breath of life and calls us out of the tomb to resurrected life. Raising people from death to life is entirely Jesus' work. Yet he invites the community of faith to a meaningful role in resurrected life. When we are called out of the tomb and filled with the breath of life, Jesus invites the community to participate in our unbinding. Like Lazarus, we are surrounded by a community of faith, people who can unbind us, people who can point towards resurrection life, hold us when our bodies or our spirits are weak, believe when we can't believe, and welcome us into community. Jesus is present when we unbind and welcome the refugees. Jesus is present when we simply sit with someone who's grieving. Jesus is present when we work for policies and practices so no one goes hungry. And that's where Jesus is. Jesus is present through our faith and our faith communities when we point to the promise of new life. Jesus is present when we weep with those who grieve. Jesus is present when we proclaim good news to the poor, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners. God's Spirit fills us. Rosh. It fills our faith community, and it can resurrect our world. But we walk through the valley. We walk through the brokenness on our way there, knowing in the midst of it all, God is here. So we continue. We continue following Jesus on his journey to the cross, acknowledging our brokenness and our sinfulness, and pray for resurrected life. Amen. invite you to turn to the bulletin and join me in the statement of faith taken from our